question was asked, should one date specifically girls who have a shared background, a shared culture as oneself? So I think that the Talmud tells us that it's preferable to find the girl who comes from your town. It's not only your city, even your town. So there's definitely an advantage to dating someone who has a shared background. It lends itself to more understanding. The nature of marriage is that there are difficulties and miscommunications, and it takes a lot of effort to bridge the gaps in every marriage. So it definitely helps when two people come from a shared background. There's no question about that. On the other hand, a person should not preclude girls who come from different cultures. You have to realize that it will involve a certain hardship. An Ashkenazi marries a Sephardi, and suddenly she starts talking to him about honor. Everything's about honor. So, lo mechubad. Lo mechubad. He looks at her and she says, I don't mind getting simple beds. Aval ze lo mechubad. I don't understand. What are you talking about? I don't need a fancy dining room set. It's just not honorable. And he doesn't understand what she's talking about. And suddenly this word mechubad shows up everywhere. You showed up late. I know I showed up late. I was at work. Ze lo mechubad. How could you show up to supper late? I mean, yeah, there's a huge culture gap here. You marry a Moroccan girl, and before you go to sleep, she's busy. Honey, what you doing? I'm mopping the floor. You get up in the morning. Honey, what you doing? I'm mopping the floor. You come home from Shacharis. Honey, what you doing? I'm mopping the floor. What happened? What do you mean, what happened? Don't I honor you? Don't I take good care of you? You don't appreciate what I do for you? Now, you guys are laughing. You don't understand what it's like. Some women will send the kids out most of the day because they're busy setting up the house. House has to look nice. And they won't understand you if you say, why don't you take time to play with the kids? As a parent, don't you think we have to spend more time with the kids? And she'll say, of course, but you want your kids to grow up in a pigsty? You don't think that's part of their education? So that's how she grew up. It's been this way for centuries. Go talk to her about it. And when you're dating, it's going to be a little hard to discover these cultural differences. So when you're marrying someone from a different culture, there are challenges which you don't know. And it's only once you're married that you have to start discovering what the differences between you are. I was invited to a mangal 2-3 days ago. And I didn't have time. So my friend told me, okay, you're coming by our house. I'll give you a piece. Enjoy it on your way. So fine, I couldn't refuse. He gives me a pita with a piece of barbecued chicken. And I come home. My wife asked me, how was it? I said, they thought it was good. Why? Because they're Middle Eastern. And they spiced the barbecue so that my mouth was burning. I couldn't taste anything I was eating. So to them, anything less than that has no flavor. To me, I couldn't taste the barbecue. What am I doing here? Burning my mouth off. Okay, I'm a sweet-toothed Ashkenazi. And they're pepper-filled Sephardi. Fine, there's no right or wrong. But you sit down for the first Shabbos meal and you put your spoon in the soup and you see pepper and then red pepper and black pepper and you try to take a spoonful of it. That's a small example. You don't even know in advance what are going to be the issues. Are they bridgeable? For sure. Is it doable? For sure. Look around you. There are many Americans married to Yemenites and Moroccans and Sephardim. They built beautiful homes together. Do they have to contend with challenges? For sure. Are the challenges sometimes extreme? For sure. I can tell you a few extreme stories. One extreme story, couples married 3 weeks, and the wife was mopping the floor, and he didn't notice as he walks through the house. And she comes in from the other room, and she sees what he did, and she starts shrieking at the top of her lungs. What's wrong with you, you brute, you ingrate? I can't believe you did that to me. You treat me like scum. How? What did I do to you to deserve such treatment? I feel like worthless. And he looks at her and says, what did I do? What do you mean, what did I do? Do you have no appreciation for what I do for you? Now you understand, he's hearing all these lines like, who knows what he did? He's trying to think, did I forget her birthday? What did I do? He doesn't even know. And she's seething, storms out of the house. And he's standing there in a shock. He still doesn't know what he did. Now he's supposed to appease her, right? And then she walks back in and he's standing there in shock. She looks at him. You complete dunce? You don't even understand? And he's offended. She looks at him and says, you're offended? Now, the culture where she came from, that was part of being feminine. You shriek at the top of your lungs, you say every powerful sentence you can think of, and there's no holds barred. Meaning there's now that same culture, the girls are the sweetest thing in the world when they're dating, and when they're sweet, they're gentle and sweet, and he never imagined that this could happen. Now he's standing there hearing lines that he'd never say such a thing to his worst enemy. And he's hearing lines like that from the one supposed to be his best friend. Okay, so now you tell the guy, listen, this is a cultural difference. It's not personal. Her mother loves her father, and she's seen her mother do this twice a week to her father. So in her mind, this is part of loving you. So he looks at you and says, what kind of quacky house does she come from? Now, you understand that it's not her fault. This is what she knows. Now you could try to explain to her that this doesn't work for you, but at the same time, why don't we explain to you that this is what works for her? Don't get so insulted. She doesn't mean half the things she says. And the other half, she doesn't mean either. All she means to say is, I'm upset. Okay, but you hear lines like this, like, you make it that it's not worth getting up in the morning, life's not worth living like this. You hear lines like, oh, wait a second, what did I do? Okay. So the cultural difference can really surprise us. But that doesn't mean it's not workable. It just means you have to be really prepared to respect one another and work. There are many stories. I mean, there are extreme stories. And this definitely proves to be a hardship in their relationships. But it's surmountable. And there are beautiful, beautiful marriages. And you've seen the alumni marry girls from Sephardi and Moroccan and Taimani and Ethiopian and they make it work. But you have to have a lot of respect and a lot of patience and be willing to work together. And I recommend that when a person starts dating, for guys, girls need a little bit, a few more criteria, but when a guy starts dating, my recommendation is take the first 6 months and look for what you think is the ideal. You could keep all your criteria up there. Whatever you think is good for you, look for it. So we had a guy here who said, I want a girl whose family made Aliyah. They speak English, but they also know what Aliyah is all about, and they live here in Israel. And I want a girl who has siblings. And he had a whole long list of what kind of family he was looking for. And I said, fine, for 6 months, look. If after 3 months you see you haven't gotten one offer that matches your criterion, so reduce one or two details. After 6 months, reevaluate. You could say, I'll reevaluate earlier, but I say, why forgo what you think is important for you? After 6 months, you should sit down and think, okay, what's really important here? And it could be that for the first 6 months, it's better to leave the ideal of someone who has a shared culture, and afterwards, compromise on that. And either you'll find someone like that or not. I don't think it's the end of the world. I've seen many couples do it. You have to be prepared for very, very harsh surprises and deal with it out of respect. And it's not easy. I purposely gave you an extreme example because you have to be prepared to respect something which you have a hard time respecting. When your wife comes out of the bathroom and doesn't wash her hands and starts serving you supper, you have to be prepared to respect that, because from certain cultures, They don't have this concept. So she'll wash her hands, but she won't use soap. Now, you can start explaining to her that it's important to you, but can you respect her until she gets used to it? Can you eat the food she serves you until she gets used to it? I'd guess in my house, I didn't feel like eating. Everyone used the facilities. They had come a long way to come to our house. Everyone used the facilities. No one used the soap. Some of the kids washed their hands. Some didn't even do that. Now you're supposed to eat dinner with them. Okay? Now he went to my classes. He learned the laws of Netilas Yadayim. But I never mentioned in the laws of Netilas Yadayim you should wash your hands with soap after using the facilities. Okay? So when you meet it face to face, it seems very tough to live with. Some cultures, a woman is considered spoiled if she's in bed after 5 in the morning. So one guy told me at 6 o'clock in the morning, his mother-in-law comes knocking on the door. Shabbos morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. She comes knocking on the door. And she's looking around the house and she's wondering, you guys still in bed at 6? What's wrong with you? So, and his wife is guiltily crawling out of bed and she feels so guilty because she's so lazy. Because she grew up in a house where at 5 o'clock her father was out in shul already. And her mother was up preparing everything and going to shul at 6. So on her way to shul, her mother came by their house to see if she wants to walk together. And she couldn't believe what she saw. And, she brought up a bum. Her daughter's still in bed at 6 in the morning, Shabbos morning. I don't want to... it's great if you're prepared to live with it, but if she wakes up at 5 and she looks at you still in bed and she's wondering what kind of bum did I marry, my father never stayed in bed past 5.
Obviously it might not work, but I was going to ask a question on this anyway, but I think that it seems that there's a certain aspects of different cultures are superior to others. So, washing your hands with soap and being sanitary is usually, a better thing than not.
Right, but...
that would be, one example of something. It's
I'll give you another example. There's a culture that never, almost never gets upset. They have a calm that you and I can never equal. And you can imagine that certain things happen, and you get all riled up. And your wife is sitting there like nothing's happening. And you're getting all excited. And she's like, nothing's happening. Now, who's right? She's going to tell you what's all your excitement accomplishing. And you're going to say, I was just fired. And the landlord just notified us that he's raising rent by 30%. And I can appreciate your calm, but you have to appreciate the fact that I'm not. Can you really appreciate that she's calm? Or will you look at it as you're disconnected with reality?
I'm not sure if, depending on the circumstance, maybe it would be appropriate. If you're too calm, then you won't be proactive enough to fix the situation. So it could be to a fault even. But I wouldn't know. But I'm saying that hypothetically... it'd be better if a person were normally calmer than we normally are. Most other cultures, maybe except for this one. So you think, okay, so ideally that's generally better. If a person just can't be that way, obviously then you're left with the circumstances that you were born into and you have to manage with what you're given. So then that culture, even though it's generally superior maybe, you could even say, is not right for you because you can't handle it. Oh, it'd be great if I could only see 2 hours and I'd learn Torah the other, 18 hours a day, but I won't be able to do that. So therefore, I can't, shouldn't be my goal. Or the directive that I need in my life, I should work in another area of things.
You have to be prepared to be patient and respectful. And you both have to be prepared to do that. And that's easier said than done. I could give you examples all night.